for the opportunity to be here in this conference and also to have the blessing and privilege of being asked to bring a message from the Word of God. I want to ask you if you'd take your Bible with me, please, and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. I thought the other night that I'd have to go home and restudy my subject after listening to the wonderful message that Brother Hancock brought. And then I tried and I prayed, but I kept coming back to what I'm going to try to preach this morning. I hope it's a blessing to you, and I believe it can be, and I know it is. The key today, and if you don't get anything else out of the thought this morning, beloved, it's two things that are very important today in our lives as a God-saved child of God. One is faith, and the second one is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to have what we desire in our lives and in our homes and in our churches, we've got to trust in the Lord. And as we look at situations that come into our lives and we try to influence people, we don't get anywhere. I believe the great influencer today is the Holy Spirit. And so as we see this and study it, there's an important thought. I just want to read a few verses and get right to it. In fact, I'll tell you what, maybe it's better you only have me up here for 30 minutes. Notice what the Bible said. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came and unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Wouldn't it be good if it could be said of each of us and each of our churches today that we did according to the work of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, I should say. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. He did what God said to do. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Well, God's word's always right, and it'll always be fulfilled. I may not get to say much about this. We won't have the time, but notice verse 24 with me also before I announce the subject. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. You know, I don't think there could be a better compliment paid to any man of God than that compliment right there. What we do today and what we've done in this conference is to worship the Lord and hear a message from his word. And I have to say this, because I sat there for these last 2 days. I don't know when I've ever been in a conference where every message was what I personally needed. And God has blessed my heart. Amen. And I'm thankful. I don't want to re-preach all the messages. I just want to ask a question, and that's the title of my subject. What do you do when the brook dries up? What are you going to do? Because no matter who you are, no matter who I am, or what we are sinners saved by the grace of God. Sooner or later, the brook dries up. And what are you going to do? The best thing to do is do what God had to say, because God's word is always right. You see, and so as we look at this, the more that I learn about Elijah, the more I think of Elijah. And some would think they'd like him because you never hear too much about Elijah. He didn't show up very often, according to what I see here in the Bible. And even when he made his appearance, beloved, he didn't stay around too long. He was kind of like the preacher that tried to preach by the clock. and never seemed to have enough time. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic. Please don't misunderstand that. There's got to be some humor. And I did have to say this. Brother Titus ran up to me in the back as we came in this morning, and he had that penknife in his hand, and I thought, what are you mad for? I hadn't preached yet. But then he told me, and I know, Brother Duval, while you preached this morning, that was wonderful. Brother Randy, it was wonderful. Now I got a blessing from it. But you see, even when Elijah showed up, he didn't seem to have too much to say. And the prophet that he was, and we might call him a preacher because he preached, he didn't make his sermons very long. And even in the brevity of them, there was one thing that comes to mind, and we find it in the 18th chapter, that if there was much to quote of what he had to say, I guess the one that struck me the best is over here in the 18th chapter in the 21st verse. What it said, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And that's what we ought to do. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. As we look at this then and consider it, Elijah in one instance was found sleeping under the juniper tree, and he thought he was the last one, only one, to serve the Lord. Aren't you glad today there's still some of us, and more of us it seems, that are interested in serving the Lord and walking with the Lord? And we find him arguing with, or at least talking to Ahab and Jezebel over the bogus real estate transaction related to Naboth's vineyard. And Elijah was a man of God who feared no man. And so humble was he. He never really, we don't find much describing him in the Bible. I couldn't find anything of where he was born or where he was introduced to his parents or by his parents or anything about his parents, you see. But Elijah had a way of coming in and going out with long intervals in between. And when he made his appearance, he made it, he said what he had to say, and he was finished. But when he left, he had hardly any time to throw off his mantle. Hardly any time to give Elisha a double portion of his spirit, and then step on a fiery chariot and be taken up to glory. Isn't that wonderful? One day as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be taken up to glory, you see. History calls Elijah the chief of prophets, but Ahab called him the troubler of Israel. And all that he did was to tell Ahab to his face that he had sinned. That one day the dogs would lick up his blood. And you know what? Elijah knew how to pray. Yes, he did. So effective were his prayers that we find, my friend, after he had told them over, as we read over there in chapter 18, I believe it was, or in chapter 18, if God be God, follow him and learn of him and worship him, you see. But if it be Baal, follow him. But then when he prayed, and so effective was his prayer that heaven's fire came down and destroyed the 450 false prophets of Baal. And burned up the sacrifice, if you will, even after they had poured all kinds of water upon the altar and upon the sacrifice. The flames came down, the Bible said, and licked up the water. And when it burned the sacrifice, it meant that God was approving the sacrifice. So a word picture then, I believe, of Elijah's brief career is important. But we must move on, and we need to see some things. Notice with me, then when he came to Ahab, the henpecked husband of the wicked Jezebel. He was on the throne of Israel. And it was to Ahab that Elijah came and declared a word from the Lord, saying in chapter 1, Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. Our God's alive today. Before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So we can be thankful that that's true. His message wasn't very long. Just that there wouldn't be any rain for 3 years. Ahab, your cisterns are about to be emptied, and there'll be no water to irrigate your fields, Ahab, and crops are going to wither, and there won't be any grapes on the vine. Ahab, you see, sin has a way of finding you out. It was then, you see, God had spoken a word to Elijah and said to Elijah, in so much as we can see, Elijah, you're in trouble now. You've got a real problem. You see, you've lost your popularity, and you go down to the brook Cherith and hide yourself, and I'll provide for you. One of the compound names in the Hebrew of our God is the compound name Jehovah Jireh, which means that God will provide. And he has provided for us, you see. And not only that, he said, Elijah, you can drink of the waters from the brook. I'm going to take care of you. But the Bible tells me something happened in the animal kingdom. And it delayed the whole thing and the process, because God was going to show him something just as God shows us something. And so not only this, but every day it seems as though as we look at it over here that the ravens in verse 6 in chapter 17 brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So his thirst was quenched. You see, he didn't need any Gatorade, did he? God took care of it. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, and you begin to wonder, well, if God told him to do this, why did the brook dry up? But I believe God was teaching him something, just as he's teaching me something and teaching you something. But the question then from all of this and trying to put all this together and understand it today, beloved, is what do you do when the brook dries up? What do you do? You see, it could be, as I heard this morning on the phone, from a fellow that I had asked us to remember somebody in prayer, that he had been battling cancer. And in the cancer, he was all upset and distraught one day. And he said that they thought they had done a good job. He had a bone marrow transplant, and he had chemotherapy, and he was home. But then he began to feel poorly again, and they put him back into the hospital in Ann Arbor. And they found a tumor on his spine. And I had to call him this morning. It was on my mind, And I thought I'd call him, and I asked him, I said, how is his gym? And he said, not good. He said that the tumor, or really the cancer, had metastasized, and there was nothing more they could do, so they quit the chemotherapy and they sent him home. He's not even 30 years of age. And if the Lord lets me be around here a few more weeks, I'll be 60. But what do you do when they stand at your bedside and say, there's nothing more I can do? What do you do when the brook dries up? Well, let me ask you a question. What about that child of yours, or that son or daughter or children that God has given you, and you've given your life to, and you've brought them up and sought to teach them the things of God, and showed to them by the way that you lived and the things that you did and the things that you said, that living for the Lord Jesus Christ was the most important thing in your life, and yet they've gone out into the world? What do you do today when the brook dries up? What do you feel like then? Oh, listen, I'm not trying to spread doom and gloom and everything else. And if I run out of time, I'll give you the end in the middle, I guess. But the best thing you and I can do today is call on the Lord. Amen. The best thing you and I can do today is go to the throne of grace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to us over there, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Friend, today we have need, don't we? The brook is dry. Listen, when we study the history of the nation of Israel in this particular time, am I doing something wrong? In this particular time, in the reign of Ahab, with his wicked wife Jezebel, that was a godless nation. The brook had dried up. There was no spirituality in the nation. And what do you do when the brook dries up? I submit to you today that as much as I'm thankful, and I believe one of the brethren said it yesterday, that we still live in a nation where we can preach what God's laid on our heart. But friend, I submit to you today, America is a dry and a thirsty land. I don't know how you pray or anything else, but I tell you what, we need to pray for our leaders. When we enact legislation to kill infants almost full term, there's something wrong with our country. And the only one that can help, the only one that can bless, is the Lord. And the brook is dry. And we need help today. Can we say, well, whenever there's no God in the social order, the nation is dry, but everything else is okay? No, the nation is dry. Whenever godless men pursue godless paths and seek to pervert the priorities and the plans of God, the nation is dry. I heard a missionary say one time, maybe 15, 20 years ago in a conference, he said, folks, he said, you don't see it like I see it because you live in the midst of it. But he said, when I go back to Brazil or I go back to Peru or wherever he was, he said, I don't see America for another 2, 3, or 4 years, whatever the case may be. But when I come back on another furlough, he said, you'd be amazed at the tremendous change that has taken place in your country. The brook went dry. And the sad part about it is that it's affecting Baptists today. You see, what's happened, maybe we have, and Satan has been working on us very subtly, the things that you stood for, beloved, so strongly and so firmly against worldliness in our churches and against compromise with the Word of God, because Satan kept pecking away and pecking away and pecking away. Some of the things have been accepted and they've crept into Baptist churches. I'll say this to you. And I don't want your sympathy. I'm not here to say this except to say the truth of it. I've had a mother come to me in my church one time and say, well, so-and-so couldn't come to church the other night because he had to make a book report. And I looked at her and I said, sister, I said, I make a book report 3 times a week. And we have to study for that book report or those book reports. You see, then somebody says, well, I'd sure trust my pastor not going into a place to eat where they serve alcoholic drinks as a beverage. I says, do you think God gives you any right to do so and tells me not to do so? He tells us not to do so. That's right. Got a little quiet, but it's nevertheless, it's the truth. The Bible said abstain from all appearance of evil. And I've seen as a child what it can do in a home. And I know what I'm talking about. Elijah said what he had said because God told him to say it. Elijah was where God told him to be. You see. And Elijah went because God told him to go. And that's what we should be doing. But what do you do when obstacles come along the way? What do you do when the brook dries up? There's nothing profound in what I've had to say this morning. But I really believe in my heart to your heart today is practical. Amen. And when the trouble comes, and it does come, it's not just the pastor that carries a load on his heart for the church. It's just not the parents who care a lot for that child who's gone astray. We all bear burdens, do we not? Does not the Bible tell us today in Galatians the 6th chapter to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ? Amen. That when my wife hurts, I'm to hurt. And when I hurt, she's to hurt. And when our members are hurting and when our members are burdened or our members are undergoing surgery or they lose a loved one, I'm to be there with them and pray with them and try to give them comfort from the Word of God. Amen. And surely today, beloved, in the day in which we're living, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are needed when He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so when we learn more about what He has to say and understand more of what the Word of God has to say to us, we can call on it in our times of need when the brook dries up, you see, and we're troubled and hardened in mind and body and spirit. Thank God today. And what we're doing today is not religious rhetoric. This isn't something I at least to me it's not. When I thought on this subject and I was up, I slept 15 minutes longer than you. I woke up at 5. But you see, friend, today, when it comes, isn't it wonderful that we can call on the Lord? Amen. Isn't it wonderful that we can pray for one another? Yes, sir. And when we rejoice, not just call and say, brother, would you pray for us? We're having problems. But brother, would you rejoice with us? God has blessed. Yeah. And God has saved some and added some to the church. And it seems as though the water is back in the brook, you see. And so in the meantime, though the burdens may have been there, God has a way of helping us. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, the Bible said, but will with the temptation give you a way to escape. So you see, today the answer is Jesus. And when we trust Him and we ask Him, I read somewhere as I thought about this subject about somebody saying they were up all night counting sheep. What's wrong with talking to the shepherd? You see? We can turn to Him. We can ask Him to help. Because He does. He cares for us. He said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, He said, giveth His life for the sheep. And the Bible said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Sheep will never butt, they'll follow. Only billy goats butt. But sheep will follow. And so today, in these moments that we have together, between now and this evening, when the last message is preached, and the last prayer has been said, we can go back with what God's blessed us with and follow Him and serve Him and encourage others to trust in our Jesus, because surely today He's ours because we're His, and so we can rejoice. But you see, the troubles can come. What? Just let me ask you this in closing, and maybe I'll quit a little early, so the dinner won't be cold. But what do you do when the investments fail to return and your bank accounts no longer provide interest that they promised? When all of your assets turn into liabilities and the brook is dried up? When husbands and wives don't love and relate to each other? When communication has been shut down and shut off? Friend, let me say that. I wanted to get to that. When one gets married, there's a lifelong communication that needs to be maintained. And the word I was thinking about and slipped my mind just came back to it. There needs to be a lifelong commitment to one another. And God help us to see the importance of that. But you know, when people take it so lightly today and say, well, I'll cast one off and get me a new one. The brook is drying up, isn't it? It's when both of you need to get down on your knees and ask God to help. My wife went to the store the other afternoon, and I got a phone call. And when she got in the door, I said, come over here. And I was typing on the computer and trying to run off the thing for my outline for last night. I said, hold my hand. I said, we got to pray. Is there anything better we can do for one another? Seriously? I know if our church had financial problem, I believe you as our friends and everything would help us to get out of the financial debt we might possibly have, could have been in. We're not. I know that the same is true for us, because you know, I believe in my heart that a church is not a bank. I believe the tithes and the offerings that come into the New Testament church needs to go out to help missionaries and brethren that are preaching and standing and striving to get God's work done. It isn't how much we have in the bank. It's whether or not we've been faithful to Jesus Christ and have sought to propagate the gospel and share it with a lost and a dying world. That's what's important, you see. Now, let me just show you something in closing. I hope I don't overstay up here, because I want to keep my word if I can. Turn with me to Psalms 46, and let me just close it this way, if I may. And I want you to follow me with two or three readings in the Psalms. A verse here and a verse there. Did you ever see that the numbers, or ever think of the numbers of times in the Psalms when God has revealed to us, beloved, that when the brook dries up, where we can find help? And I find that to be very comforting and encouraging. He said in Psalms 46 in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice the 33rd Psalm in the 20th verse, what he says over there, if you would please. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Not only does he help us, he protects us, doesn't he? Certainly. You see, and then in the 121st Psalm and verse number 1, if you mark your Bible, you might want to mark these. I like to mark these. I like to find them quickly. And in the 121st Psalm and verse number 1, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, and he that keepeth us, shall neither slumber nor sleep. And so today, when we need help and we need encouragement, no matter the hour, as long as our sins have been forgiven, because he does say also in the Psalms, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But you see, today, friend, we can call on him in our times of need. How wonderful it is. What a glorious thing it is today to be saved by the grace of God, to know Jesus Christ in a personal experience. That we know today that if he came tonight, we'd be with him. We'll be going home. I need my glasses. I'll stumble into something. Lord bless you.